You know the way these stories go. 13 years ago, 4 struggling musicians made a deal with the devil. What were they chasing? Fame, riches, adoration. Your classic devil fare.
What happened next? Well, you know the way these stories go. The damned fools got it in their heads to try and outrun their end of the bargain.
See, the devil is coming to collect his due, and he doesn't take kindly to those who can't cough up. Which brings this story to the 4 of us here, now, huddled in the back of a freight car on a train hurtling to the one place the devil will never catch us. One final desperate shot at immortality.
And if we're lucky, by the end of the night, one of us will still be left alive to tell the tale.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon, the tabletop role-playing podcast that helps game masters learn new games and make each one better than the last. And this is a special mini-series of Last Train to Bremen, sponsored by Possum Creek Games and Steve Jackson Games. At time of release, the backer kit campaign for the physical release of Last Train to Bremen is live, so go check it out if you like what you hear. But for now, let me introduce our cast of characters, our dramatis persona, our doomed quartet. As ever, I am Brian Flaherty, and joining me today is Elliot Davis.
Hello, choo-choo, all aboard.
Choo-choo. Jay Stroutman.
I'm doomed.
So doomed. And Shanuk Tissara.
Hiya, choo-choo.
Choo-choo, I forgot to say choo-choo.
Choo-choo indeed. We're going to be playing a little Doom Quartet in this game of Last Train to Bremen. You guys excited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's fucking do this.
Where's Bremen?
Germany.
Yeah, I knew that. Hell yeah.
You asked the question for us.
I wanted to see if you guys
you,
knew.
You wanted us to look bad with that question.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to see if, yeah. Got your ass.
Wild.
Is that true? Germany? Well, what do you know?
We also have the advantage of having just interviewed Caro about this game 2 days ago.
Oh, so you're cheating is what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're cheating.
Extremely cheating. No, to be fair, I was in the same interview and I did not know the answer was Germany.
No.
I knew the answer was Europe. Last Train to Bremen is a dramatic tragedy about a dysfunctional band of lowlifes. And as such, these characters are fucking each other and fucking each other over, often at the very same time.
Mm.
So the thing we should start with, as we do on most scenes of My First Dungeon, are some safety tools for this game to talk about what we do and don't want to have in the fiction of this game. So the common safety tools the book recommends, the ones that we use here on My First Dungeon, are Lines and Veils and the X card. The X card is very simple. It is a kind of a ripcord moment of if you experience something in the game that you're not that comfortable with, feel free to type an X in the chat as we're playing virtually, or just throw an X over top of your chest with your hands, or just say X card as we kind of end up doing on this show, and we'll kind of reevaluate where we're going with the fiction and take it to places that we do want to go rather than places that we don't want to go. And then looking over to lines and veils for this game. Lines and veils are a common safety tool. Lines are places we don't go. They are the line we go up to, but don't go past. And veils are things we don't mind existing in the fiction, but don't want to experience directly. So we don't mind that spiders are in the world, but we don't want to have close-up descriptions of spiders. Because this is a game that we want to get pretty nasty and mean as these bandmates, the things that are prominent in this game are smoking and drinking, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, band hookups and bad breakups, hedonism, debauchery, deceit and betrayal, vulgar language. Does anyone have any specific lines or veils that they'd like to talk about?
I would line grooming. I feel like when it comes to bands doing bad stuff, that's an area that I feel like could be associated. And let's not accuse anyone of grooming.
Yeah, great call.
This is a game that kind of implicitly there is some like band hookups happening. How do we feel about interpersonal relationships or sex being depicted in the game?
Excited.
Let's go.
Excited. I don't have sex in real life, so.
Excited and fun. And then another thing that is prominent in there's sex, there's drugs, there's rock and roll. How do people feel about drug use in this game?
Fine with that.
Yep, same.
Yeah, wait, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm on Molly every day.
Oh, I would also say veil suicide and suicidal ideation. I'm fine with it existing and being connected to anybody's story, but not graphic descriptions of like suicide if that's a part of anybody's.
Cool. You know.
Yeah, and as always, as we talk about safety tools, this is always an ongoing discussion. So if midway through the game anyone feels like, hey, we're actually starting to touch on areas that I didn't realize I didn't want to go to, just shout it out and we'll kind of renegotiate what these lines look like, because we want our fiction, the story that we tell, to be fun for everyone at all times. Rule zero in this game is look out for yourself and look out for each other as the game unfolds, which is a great little rule zero for the game.
Yeah.
Catch you back.
And now it is time to meet our dramatis personae. There are four characters in this game. There are the cockerel, the fiddle, and the PR, the face of the band. There is the cat, the bass guitar and manager, the brains. There's the hound, the lead guitar and lyricist, the heart of the band. And the mule, drummer and treasurer of the band. Who would like to be our cockerel for this game?
I'll do it. I'll step up and be the face of the band.
Yeah, nobody wanted to do it, so thank God you said something.
Thank God.
It feels right that the only actual musician in this game should be the face of the group.
Thanks. I'll try and do it justice.
Jay, if you don't mind looking at your character sheet, there's a bit of description of who the cockerel is. Can you go ahead and read it to us? And put some pizzazz on it.
Okay. Yeah, because this is like in character text, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. The rest of the band, they're all talk. They'll claim credit when things go well. They'll point fingers when things go south. But Cat's managerial skill, Hound's way with words, Mule's head for numbers, none of it would have amounted to anything if I hadn't drawn the sigils, if I hadn't lit the candles, and if I hadn't goaded Cat into reading from that dusty book. When the devil appeared in that circle of shining flame, all the others flinched, but I held fast. My flare with the fiddle caught his attention, and my brazen sales pitch won him over. I am the one who shook the devil's hand. I am the one who signed his contract for the group. And I am the one who met him eye to eye. So the rest of the band, they're all talk. It takes conviction to live in notoriety.
And that's the cockerel. The next up is the cat, the bass guitarist and manager, the brains of the band. Who would like to play the cat?
I'll do it.
Hell yeah. Chinook, go ahead and tell us a little bit more about Cat.
Yeah, okay, I will. Just a quick question.
Yeah.
We're playing like, how real to our current world are we playing this?
Aside from the devil bit?
Well, that's real. What are you talking about?
That's real.
That happens.
I feel like it's a vaguely normal world.
Okay.
Nice. I actually think we might decide that later in Act 1.
Cool.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. We'll see.
What was your question? Are we animals or are we people?
What's the choice you want to make?
No, it's not animals at all, actually.
What insane choice do you want to make?
It was going to be... I wanted to be a puppet. That's in the band.
What?
But I can see how that might be not the vibe. And that, I wasn't going to do it, but I really wanted my voice to be, like, obviously I wasn't going to do this, but
the
I really wanted my voice.
That Brian's character is having sex with.
I'm pretty sure the hound has sex with the cat. You can't pick me out to be puppet fucker. You can't do it.
But the puppet's alive because of devil magic. It's a sexy puppet. Anyways, whatever.
I was mistaken. Sorry, we don't ask that later in the rules. My mistake.
I feel like you just said that because of what I just said about the puppet. So
yeah, I'm trying to backtrack with you.
You could have just X-carded me. That's so fine. That's so fine. All right, fuck. No, we're not doing the puppet. We're a normal human person that can have normal human sex.
Animal sex, I think.
You don't tell me what kind of sex I have.
So sorry.
I've never been one to get pinned down. The glamour, the stardom, my name up in lights. They were only ever reminders of the clock above my head, slowly counting down. Making a deal with the devil, the literal fucking devil, from literal fucking hell? When has that ever turned out well for anybody, ever? Nothing gold can stay. I simply saw the writing on the wall. So when I went back to the book, when I puzzled through its pages, when I found the loophole that would let the band escape his notice, I thought, why not take it? And it worked for a time. Things were good for a time. And if it hadn't all gone sideways, the devil would have been none the wiser.
Next up is The Hound, lead guitarist and lyricist, the heart of the band. And I think I'm going to take on this role.
Bark, bark.
Ooh. Bark, bark.
Bark, bark, woof, baby. Woof. It was going well. It was all going so well. Another sold-out show at Black Barn. Another night of the crowd roaring our names, cheering themselves hoarse, singing along to our songs. Another celebration after hours. Once my brother cleared everyone out, just him and the band and a few close friends, when someone asked, how the hell did you get so big so quickly? And before anyone could react, the answer leapt from my mouth. It's funny you should mention hell. One careless slip of the tongue, that's all it took for the rumors to start spreading. When the crowds began to thin, when the suits stopped coming around, I knew it would only be a matter of time before the devil himself caught wind. I put the target on the band's back, and everything changed forever. And last but not least, we have the mule.
That's me.
The drums, the treasurer of the band.
I'm really delighted by the fact that the hound gets like the heart and cat gets the brains and mule gets treasure. What's your emotional role in the band?
Yeah. Even Cockrell is the face. Everyone else is an element of a single corporeal body. The mule is the treasurer.
I just play the drums and I count the fucking money. Okay.
What if you were a puppet, though?
Shut up. Can't take these fuckers anywhere. Leave it to them to dig a hole they can't climb out of. Leave it to them to drag me down with them. Leave it to them to bring trouble to my door in the dead of night, watch the Blackburn go up in fucking flames, and beg me to bribe some asshole at the train yard to look the other way, so that they can leave me hauling their instruments onto the back of this overstuffed, rickety-ass boxcar while they all piss and moan. They're assholes, goddammit. But what am I gonna do? Leave them out to dry? This train's the last shot at breaking free from the devil's grip once and for all. This better be worth it. They better be worth it.
Get over it, you fucking loser.
Wow.
Just count the money, dude.
Shut up.
Fuck. Shut off, man.
No one even likes you.
Yeah.
I wish you were a puppet, dude.
The contract. The inciting incident? That's easy. It all comes back to that night in the basement. The band was together already by then, playing shit gigs here and there, but that dingy basement cemented us. It bound us together for real by blood and by ritual. None of that parlor trick shit. Real candles, real book, real circle of chalk, and the real fucking devil showing up with a bargain too good to refuse. With the gift of hindsight, it's easy to say that signing the contract was a stupid choice. But as some of us might tell you, when all the roads ahead are bad, at least pick one that makes for a compelling story.
The bar. It's hard to believe the Black Barn lasted as long as it did. 15, maybe 20 years of Hound's brother working the bar with the same torn posters littering the walls, same cheap beer on tap, same greasy couch with bad springs in the green room backstage. To others, the Black Barn is little more than a dive bar, but it's the place that the four of us first met for drinks, the venue for our first paying gig, the place we circled back to again and again. For all that stardom changed us, the Black Barn always stayed the same, a home of sorts. Makes no difference now. It's all gone up in smoke.
Damn, damn,
woof,
damn.
Am damn, I right?
Damn.
Caw, caw.
Bark, bark.
Now that we each have chosen which playbook we'll be playing, which character we will be in this doomed quartet, let us ask some questions about each other to kind of further develop our particular story of this doomed quartet. Starting with the Cockerel, on your character sheet, there are some questions. You're going to be asking your first one to the mule, and then we're going to go to each character sheet in turn, doing the first question for everybody, then the second question for everybody, then the third.
Cool. Mule.
Yeah.
Which of my petty vices do I insist on passing off as a business expense?
I think you're a wine guy. I think you drink I think you knock back bottles of cheap wine and you put it on the business expenses, and you keep putting it on as different things, but I keep noticing.
I definitely have a bottle or two on our rider.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick, because we didn't do it before, what pronouns does the Cockerel use?
This is always hard for me because I always find it after 5 minutes of playing the character. Let's say...
Hey, you can decide after 5 minutes of playing.
Is that okay? I feel like they need to introduce themselves to me before I know.
Any all until
you have to
otherwise.
Ask the question to the character before you can answer the question to us.
Correct. Yeah.
Very fair. That sounds fun. Let's we can just all do that.
Hell yeah.
We'll find pronouns as we play. Play to find out.
Yeah, that's what that means.
That's what that means. Play to find out your gender identity.
Amen.
Kat, you'll ask your first question to the Cockerel.
Yeah, well, I was gonna shut up for just 3 seconds.
Sorry.
Sorry, I'm on one today.
Too many eggs.
It's better
guy.
If you were a puppet.
Yeah, 2 eggs today. And that's just too many for this young little lad. Oh, what am I doing? Okay. To the cockroach.
That's me.
Why did I beg you to take on our press and publicity? And I begged a lot for like months.
Kat is the brains, right? What's the other role?
Yeah, bass, guitar, and manager.
Manager.
Man.
I think you're overworked. Here's what's up. I think that you, thought you could do it all. You thought you could do all of the important jobs for the band, and you crashed and burned. And when you tried to do PR, it was just like the last thing on the stack that you just couldn't handle, and so it was either that or just completely burnout.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
On to me, the Hound. Kat, what did you see in me when we first started hooking up?
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, you were the lead. No one respects me. Everyone respects you. You do absolutely nothing, but the only way I could get any FaceTime or any respect is if I was seen with you. So I was absolutely using you to just get more time, more respect, more acknowledgement of my work that I do for this little thing. And because you're so happy-go-lucky, everyone loves you, but I'm the manager. I do all the nitty-gritty stuff, except for the publicity and whatnot, but everything else is on me. You're just hot. And you say fun, nice things, and you're up there. I'm the bass player, too. Like, without me, the band doesn't function. But no, you have a fucking guitar and you write the lyrics and all that shit. So it was purely out of, you know, using you.
I mean, at least I'm hot.
Everything else was kind of bad.
I'm sorry, is this Friend Island or is this the train to Bremen? The last one, actually.
Oh, we're not playing Friend Island?
Friend Island, that classic tabletop role-playing game.
I'm scared I have to go.
Hound.
Yes?
What bothers you most about my friendship with your brother?
Ooh.
I think you guys get too drunk together and spend and buy other people too many drinks. Like, you spend the band's money on things we don't need to spend it on.
Mm.
So it's a lot of like going to the bar. You guys roll up and you say you're just going to get one Jameson each, and then one Jameson turns into three, turns into two pints of Guinness, turns into tequila shots for the bar. And then, of course. You know, the small troop of like hot people come over and they see that you're buying shots. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, all the money that we got for the gig is out the door and down people's gullets.
Yeah. It's networking, really, when you think about it.
It's not networking when there's like people in here who have no idea who we are. They came in after our set. They don't like music. They say that top 40 is the only thing they want to listen to.
Also, you do that, and my bottle of wine is a problem.
Drink the entire bottles to yourself. It's different, okay?
Oh, it's a sharing thing.
We do social drinking, me and Hound's brother.
It's crazy because the Hound's brother is also a puppet, dude. So that doesn't make sense.
I swear to God.
It's bad because at this point, it's has to be in the edit. There's been enough jokes about it.
The fucking devil's going to show up as a goddamn puppet in Act 3.
The Act 2 twist is that we've been Muppets the whole time.
I think that's me.
Yeah, back to you.
Hound.
Ooh, hello.
What do I keep doing to land on your brother's bad side? Really want to know about your brother right now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, what do you do to land on my brother's bad side? Oh, I think my brother is a big fan of me. Like, he's very protective of me. And you keep, because you're doing all the marketing and the promotional stuff, you keep putting your face like front and center. Like, it's very clear that you're putting like you as the face and then the band face around you. Yeah. Whereas in his mind, he's like, lead guitar should be at least equal to the face or a little bit in front of.
So just like kind of a fundamental misunderstanding of how this whole thing works sort of thing.
Wow. You talk to my brother with that mouth?
I'm just saying, I'm literally the face.
Well, I think he doesn't think you should be.
Oh. Interesting. Guess you should do PR.
Sorry. We're already getting a little snippy. It starts fun, but it's gonna get bad.
Yeah. To the mule, what dream for the band did we once share that we have long since outgrown?
Okay, this is making like a time period choice, and if anybody disagrees with this, please let me know. But I think we wanted to be on MTV, like have a music video on MTV. And I think this is maybe what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah.
We all were in the same bar when we first saw a video Killed the Radio Star. And it blew our fucking minds.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think you and me, Kat, were like, that's gonna be us.
Yeah. I bought a camera the next day. It was one of those big like Panasonic guys you have to have like the special tapes for. I didn't know how to edit, so we just filmed a bunch of footage in linear order. None of the lip flaps sync at all.
Classic.
Cockerel.
Mm-hmm.
why am I writing songs specifically to spite you?
Because I am a better lyricist than you are, and I told you, I'm happy for you to keep doing lyrics because I don't really want to do them, but I am just better at it than you, so I think you've got something to prove.
Do we sing any of your songs, or are you just claiming this sight unseen?
I think everybody just kind of knows from like a vibe check, you know what I mean?
Oh my god.
Wow.
I fully claimed it. And I don't think, why, you know, it's just like, it's just.
Did you release like a solo EP or something at some point?
100% I released a solo EP. And it's like, I'm still kind of waiting for it to catch on, but like, it is really good kind of thing.
Do you sell the solo EP at our merch table? Because let me tell you, that's kind of fucked.
Dick it.
I give you guys like 10% or whatever.
That's fucked.
It's actually a super good deal if you think about it.
The math does not work out there.
You're splitting the focus. We're trying to pitch our band, not just you.
No. It's all pieces of the whole thing. Of the, you know, like limbs of a body.
Your album is called...
See, I'm an incredible lyricist.
Your album is called Me Alone With No One Else. What are you talking about?
My album's called Phantom Limb. Thank you very much.
Kat. Which key part of your business strategy have I always pushed back on?
Okay, I have an important question. How successful are we?
Very.
Very successful.
Isn't that the thing? Isn't that the whole bit that the devil made us really successful?
Yeah. Okay. No, just confirming that we're very successful. Okay. I have pitched to you to give me the money to start a, and I think this fits for the 90s, a prank TV show.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? You haven't even heard the best part yet.
I'm sorry, is there a best part coming after the phrase prank TV show? I don't think there can be a good part afterwards. There certainly can't be a best part.
Well, this is the best part. We get a private jet, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we basically tell our celebrity friends, hey, like, we're gonna all go to Australia. And we're, like, leaving from New York.
I'm just adding money on a calculator as you're adding details.
I'm just sitting there like, dude, let him cook.
It's all fitted with like cameras and whatnot. And like, we're a crazy bunch of like rock stars. So like our private jet is like, you know, sometimes it's a regular plane. Sometimes it's like just a bunch of hot tubs with seatbelts in them. And you're just in a hot tub the entire time. It's crazy. And so we put them on this plane and we're like, all right, like, we'll, you know, we'll get on with them or like, you know, one of us will be there and it'll be, a couple of our pals and they'll think, oh, we're going to Australia. It's going to be so much fun. And then we fly up and then for the next like 17 hours, it's like a terrible flight. Like the plane's going like that and it's going crazy and the water's getting everywhere and everyone's having a bad time. And there's a bunch of like flim flams and then we land. And then they get off the plane and they're still in New York. And we go, ha, got your ass. And it's funny because they were on a plane for 17 hours, had a really bad time. And we didn't take them anywhere. And we make a lot of money because it's a fun TV show. And our music's in it.
Yeah, I'll crunch the numbers, see if that's something we can do.
Yeah, maybe, it's a good idea.
Maybe next quarter. Yeah.
Definitely crunch the numbers because that could be the thing that elevates us to the next level, you know, brand, like, yeah, additional, right, brand, yeah, recognition. Sure. We got to like cross pollinate across different things.
There's this guy, Ashton Kutcher, that's starting a show called Punked, and we can beat him to the punch with this plane show.
Mm. Oh, it's a plane show now.
It's not a prank show. It's just a plane show.
It's a plane prank show.
It's a single prank show.
Yeah,
single
and prank. The plane will change. Like, that's the fun part of like
the plane will change.
Yeah, like the inside will change. Like sometimes
the prank won't change.
The prank is basically the same. We'll take people to, we're going to Malaysia.
Let me stop you right there. One episode of this comes out, none of our friends ever get on a plane with us ever again.
No, okay, but here's the thing. Sometimes the plane does go to where you want to go. This is like maybe a few of the times it does. Like we can only shoot.
It's like a lottery system.
So sometimes we're covering flights to Australia. Yeah, okay.
Sometimes we actually are going to Australia. Sometimes you have a bad time.
Also, Mule, we're going to batch record. So, like, we'll already have 10 episodes before anyone sees the first one. So right. just like 10, yeah, 17 yeah, hour yeah, international yeah, flights yeah, on a hot yeah, tub yeah, plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's
okay. Hot tub great. Plane machine.
Let's just focus on the music. All right. All right.
No, but our music's going to be in it.
No,
we
no.
We can make
all
prank
right.
music.
It's like a music video.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Ooh,
it's like
yeah.
And we have a music can, video thing anymore.
The Hound's camera.
Yeah, we don't. We've already got like half of the stuff. Like, this is all a write-off now.
Yeah.
We can just write it off.
Nobody in this group knows what a write-off is.
You just write it off.
Yeah, you just don't
just
pay for
write it.
It
off. Just like
famous.
My bottles of wine.
Yeah, it's basically free.
Cockerel.
Yeah, it's basically free. Also, we should get 4 puppets of us to do music.
Nope. All right. Budget meeting over.
Cat.
Damn it.
What did we end up doing with the book that summoned the devil?
Oh, we tried burning it. Didn't burn.
Yeah.
We tried blowing it up. Didn't blow up. We tried giving it to your mother. Didn't work. Gave it
my
to my mother.
Mother.
Yeah, your mother.
Okay.
Then gave it to my mother. She didn't want it.
In what way did the first one not work?
giving it to
to Cockle's mother. It just like you gave it to her and then it just appeared back in your hands.
Yeah. It did, and then turns out the cockerel now has 2 mothers. One's a demon, one's a regular. So,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. So it's a whole other ripple that
it's
we won't
whole,
deal with
yeah.
in this story.
Of course, of course, of course.
That's made life pretty complicated lately, to be honest.
Yeah. And so I felt bad, so I gave it to my mother. So now there's also a demon version of my mother and a regular version, because it's reciprocal in that sense of our relationship. An eye for an eye, if you will.
Right.
So now we just keep it in the back trunk of the tour bus under the Bibles and stuff.
Under the Bibles?
Yeah.
Did we buy the Bibles specifically for this purpose? Did we think it would create
they
a
were
shield?
Actually, we brought this tour bus used. This used to be a Christian rock band's tour bus, and they were just in the
Okay,
back.
We're not a Christian rock
we're
band
not
though,
a
that
Christian
made a deal
band.
With the devil.
They were
just
we haven't
sure.
thrown out the Bibles. And it turns out it kind of came in handy to contain the devil book.
We made deals with the devils for 5 myrrh albums.
So it's buried in Bibles in the trunk.
Yeah.
Buried in Bibles in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
Buried in Bibles in the back of the bus.
That's a song now.
Yeah,
that
I told
is...
you.
It's good.
That's worth it.
I told you.
I really like the idea of, I feel like that fits in a vampire movie too, of like, you just surround a vampire in Bibles.
Yeah. Like,
paper mache.
Paper mache a vampire with all Bible pages. That's how you
that's
kill
pretty
it,
good,
actually. A vampire.
Yep.
The Hound. Why did I break things off with you?
Ooh. I was getting serious, and I wanted to like tell the band that we were together and make that like make it Facebook official. Or this is early on. So make it MySpace
official.
But like tell people about it and like make that like didn't want to be hooking up with anyone else at gigs. Wanted to make it like an exclusive thing.
What did I say to you?
I came to you very hat in hand and very excited, and I was pretty sure that you felt the same way and that this was kind of a formality. And I think you just said, nah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brutal.
And, that's tough.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
I then played it off of like, yeah, I didn't actually want that. I was just fuck with you, man. No, it's chill. We can just go back to what we were doing before.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
Sounds great to me too.
I have a follow-up question. How obvious are the songs? Like, how obvious is it? Is it through your songwriting?
All of them have a cat pun in it.
A pun?
A pun?
It's like pun or like
you rhyme. Really are the worst lyricist.
All right, I say pun. What I meant was metaphor.
That's why the cockerel's a better lyricist.
I wrote the song Cat Scratch Fever, and then I was like, it's a little too on the nose, and I threw it out and it got picked up by the person who wrote Cat Scratch Fever.
Let's all say it.
Let's all we say all, their name.
We all know is, you
One,
know.
One, two, three.
Oh, by Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent
found my lyrics for Cat Scratch Fever, and then
we'll fix it in post.
Cut me almost saying Steely Dan.
I thought Steely Dan too.
It's got Steely that Dan, vibe.
Surprisingly good band.
Not surprising. They're incredible.
I feel like it's just like every time I listen to a full Steely Dan album, I'm like, these are all bangers. I thought you guys just had like one or two songs. No.
They only wrote hits is the thing. We could learn a thing or two.
Mule.
Yes.
Which unpaid debt of mine do you still dangle over my head?
Ooh. Ooh. I think you ended up in jail overnight and I had to bail you out with band money.
What did I do?
I think it was like stupid property damage. I think it was like you tried to do something cool and you like broke a shop window or like knocked a fence over or something.
Yeah, you fucked a puppet.
You did not fuck a puppet. Let me be clear. I think we were touring in some like real ritzy town and you smashed a storefront window like doing a cool flip or something.
I tried to do the flip where you run up the wall and do a backflip, but I did it on the glass and just went right through it. into the town's puppet store.
Yeah. Into the puppet store. Yeah.
The ritzy puppet store.
And you called me because you knew I had the money, and I bailed you out.
And it's a write-off.
Yeah, dude, it's a write-off.
Like, it's a write-off. He went to jail.
Nobody knows what write-off means. Nobody knows.
If you do it in the spirit of rock and roll and you are a band, then mm-hmm. it is a write-off.
It's legal.
It was literally
Look,
for work.
If you want to talk to our accountant about this...
Aren't you the accountant?
No, I'm the treasurer. They're different roles.
Why are we paying an accountant if you're the treasurer? That's ridiculous.
So true. It
seems like a redundant
word. Oh my God.
Yeah. We should talk about that.
Yeah. Budget meeting.
Budget meeting.
No more budget meetings. Cockroach. What one argument when you pushed it brought us fully to blows?
Me?
Yeah.
I get the sense that you play things a little safe, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't know that it started as an argument so much as, like, teasing. And then I think when I became, like, fully fledged PR, I started to make it be more of a thing that's, like, when the fans pick their favorite, they're not going to go for the safest option. They're going to go for someone who's throwing themselves into a store window by accident. And so...
I did it on purpose.
On purpose, even. Either way, the danger's there, and you don't really have any danger. And, you know, it reflects on all of us, really, if you're not taking risks and being fun, to be honest.
I think when you said this, Mule just stood up, walked over the room, and punched you in the face. You want danger? Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
do it again.
This is what I'm talking about.
Jesus.
Oh, you're like, yeah.
Chill, no, this is not cool.
Yeah. Let's light the hound on fire now.
Yeah, nice.
No, the cockerel's the face. We literally can't hit the face.
Yeah, the cockerel's the face, not you.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do anything. Don't hit me.
Get in the fire, hound.
I went through the store window. I was already the most badass of us. And I'm the best lyricist, and I'm the lead guitar, and I should be out front with you!
Well...
I'm lighting your guitar on fire right now.
No! I'm still paying the installments on this thing!
Oh, we should definitely be covering that from the band.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Wait, we're way too successful for you to be paying your guitar in installments. That's a write-off!
This is a write-off?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can collect the fire insurance money.
Ooh,
I do like this guitar, though. Can we set someone else's guitar on fire?
Yeah, okay.
All right. I set Kat's guitar on fire.
That's my bass, you idiot!
We don't tour with any less than 5 guitars per.
I don't need any guitars.
Honestly, 3 of my guitars are tuned the exact same way.
Yeah. Well, what if you break a string on one?
Yeah, I suppose. You gotta have redundancies. You gotta have redundancy on top of redundancy, except for accounting. We just need one treasurer. We don't also need an accountant. I think you're really taking
different
a
roles.
There.
They're different roles.
I don't see how they're different roles.
Does the treasurer deal with money?
Yes.
Does the accountant deal with money?
In a way.
Yes.
What do you mean, in a way?
Same role.
They don't deal directly with the money. I tell them the money.
And what are
they
accounting
tell me
for?
How much
are they doing then?
They're accounting for what we owe the government, the IRS.
We don't have to pay the government. We made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, yeah. It's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
We made a deal with the devil to be really fucking good and successful. But if we end up in jail for tax fraud, that doesn't fucking matter.
We'll make another deal.
You guys are giving me ulcers.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl. In a special Gertrude room. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes -2, that's a 0.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones
and get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
The last bit of Act 1 is, now that we have our characters, we've asked each other questions, we've kind of defined the tinderbox of a relationship of this band. On each of our character sheets, there are a number of secrets, and we each get to choose one. These secrets will not be revealed until we are down to our final die in the Liar's Dice game we're going to be playing momentarily. And with each secret, there is a special ability that you can do. So take a look at your character sheets and choose one of those 3 secrets. You don't need to reveal it. In fact, you should not reveal it, but feel free to let that secret influence your role play throughout the session.
Cool.
Ooh. Ooh, I have my secret.
They're all really juicy.
And I'm definitely not a puppet.
And you're definitely not a puppet.
Definitely not a puppet. Okay. When it says like once per game, that just means like once in the entirety of our session.
Yeah. So you can't do it at any time. It's only when you get down to your final. So once you get down to your final die, you will reveal your secret, and then that power is active.
Okay.
You don't have to use it right away, but.
Yeah, you reveal your secret and your special ability after you lose your first 2 dice. You can hint at them during play, but don't reveal them until instructed. Let's dive in now to Act 2. The train. The boxcar that the 4 of us sit in now is a callous, uncharitable thing. It is packed with pallets of freight, paper goods, metal ingots, sacks of grain, lumber. When Mule bribed the man at the train yard to let us sneak aboard, we did not have the luxury of being choosy. We have pushed one pallet against the wall to carve out what little elbow room we can. Cat had the foresight to snag a lantern and a book of matches. Our instrument cases are stacked on top of each other as a makeshift table. There is almost enough room for all four of us to sit uncomfortably. The trains swaying and rolling have settled in now. They are a low, constant rumble. Cockerel paces as much as one can pace in here. Occasionally, through the slats in the side of the car, Hound can see distant lights in the darkness. There is little to do here besides sit and wait and bicker about all the choices we took that led us down this sorry path. And with that, we enter Act Two, The Boxcar.
Ooh.
In Act Two, we're going to be experiencing some memories, and we're going to be playing this game proper. And how do we do that? With a game of Liar's Dice.
Heck yeah.
Quick explanation for everybody about Liar's Dice. All of us have three dice that we're going to be rolling, and there is one additional dice in the center called the Devil's Dice, which will indicate a wild number, a wild card number. If you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean 2, you are familiar with Liar's Dice. But for those who don't know, Liar's Dice is a game of bluffing and gambling. We will all be rolling all three of our dice and keeping those results secret from one another. And then in turn, we will be making bets on the totality of the dice. So for instance, we all will roll the dice. If I started off, I might say within all 12 of our dice, there are two ones. After that, we move around in a circle, and the next person can make an increasing bet, either increasing the number of dice, so three ones, or increasing the value of the number, so two twos instead of two ones. In addition, the Devil's Dice is a wild card number, so if I rolled a three, that means all threes would also be counted. So if I'm trying to guess how many ones are in there, we'd count all the ones as well as all the threes. As we're going around, if someone chooses to name the number of the Devil's Dice as part of their bet, that wild card ceases to be wild, and now it is locked into being just a number. So if three was the wild card number, and Shenouk, you decided to say three threes, now there are no more wild cards. So if we get further on in the game and then all of a sudden someone gets rid of wild cards, it's gonna fuck up somebody. As we go, at any point, if one of the players believes that the bet that was made, the claim that was made, is not possible or is not valid, they can challenge. At this point, we all reveal how many dice there are of the chosen number. If the challenger is wrong, they lose a dice. If the challenger is right, the person that called bullshit is right, then the person who made the claim, who made the bet, loses a die. If you win one of these contests, please move a dice to the side and or mark it in some way. That'll play a big part in the end game of this game. As we have these contests between a person who made a bet and a challenger, there will be scenes that we play out between those two people. So whoever the winner and the loser of this bet will have a scene kind of dictated by our character sheets a little bit. Any questions on Liar's Dice?
No.
It's a pretty easy game. The second we start playing it, if you have any questions, it becomes pretty clear what we're doing.
Mm.
Shenouk, why don't you get us started? So to start us off, go ahead and roll the Devil's Dice.
Far.
Four.
Far.
Okay, so fours are wild. Everyone go ahead and roll your three dice and keep the results secret for everyone else.
Whoa, three sixes.
I said keep it secret.
Maybe I'm lying.
So yeah, Shenouk, what is your opening wager in this game of Liar's Dice?
Yeah, cat.
Yeah, cat.
Come on, cat.
Say... Calm down. Jesus Christmas. The opening wager is three ones.
Three threes.
Four threes.
Six threes.
Six threes.
Keep in mind there's wilds too.
There are wild.
And there's still all the dice in play right now, so.
Yeah, but six threes means there's half the dice.
As threes or fours, because four is the devil's die.
Right. I'm gonna...
Which is really a third... Never mind. I'm not a math guy, sorry.
I'm gonna say bullshit.
You would.
Yeah, I would.
Total five.
You absolute fuckers. No one could roll a three here today or a four?
I rolled a three.
I rolled a three.
Yeah.
And no fours?
Not a single four. Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Not a single four, you fool. This is why you're not the heart.
Yeah.
So, Jay, you're going to lose one of your dice, which means going forward, you're only going to have two dice, so less information for this game of Liar's Dice. And Shenouk, you will just mark one dice or put one dice to the side, put one extra die to the side that will come into play
as
later.
As your spoils.
Spoils.
Yeah, take your spoils.
And because I lost a die,
mm-hmm.
I go ahead and do a memory.
Yeah.
You lost a die, you lost a friend.
Whoa.
Already? Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
And Cockrell, what is your memory like prompt from your character sheet for your first die?
Yeah. I don't know if these are supposed to be mixed together or if they're two options, but my prompts are on the spot and overnight sensation. Yeah, we know that you came begging for me to take things off your plate, and we knew that it was PR, and you had been trying to hoist a PR plan that involved Hound front and center. And when I took over, I mean, I just had a better idea, and it was to put me front and center. And funnily enough, it worked really well, way better than it ever had. I think this was like maybe even just a little bit before our deal with the devil actually went through, that like we actually just started getting better paying gigs. Like we went from like $100 a night to maybe 250 total split between us and after before Gus. And but I mean, hey,
and taxes.
And oh, we don't pay.
It's a write-off, dude.
It's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I think as far as becoming an overnight sensation, I mean, it really just hit when I started making me front and center. And I think that the choices that I made for PR were, you know, for merch and for posters and for our online presence, whatever it was back in the 90s. It was like my face was like three times the size of everybody else's and the rest were just like floating. It's kind of behind me. But, I mean, it worked.
That's funny, because that's not how I remember this. I definitely needed help with a PR plan, but I gave you a plan, and all you did was execute. But you did change one fundamental thing. You made yourself the face, when in my plan, it was the Hound and I.
Mm.
You changed everything. You didn't do any work. You just did. You took the thing I gave you, because I didn't have the time to send out the emails, make the calls, but you made yourself the face. So don't lie to my fucking face and say you had a better plan. You stole my shit, and now, yeah, you have a solo career budding.
Also started to go well around the time we made a deal with the devil. Anybody? Nope.
It was before. It was slightly before that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it's not that I had a better plan. I just did it better.
Mm. You just took my plan, changed one thing, and did it better.
Yeah. And that one thing was all it took, apparently.
Cool.
You know, we could just, like, cut and paste out your face and just kind of rearrange all the posters and see if there's a change. Like, maybe we did
Hound,
great
it's a
with
little,
your...
It's a little late for that.
But I mean, maybe we did great with Cockrell as the face, but maybe we'd do even better with me as the face.
I just want to say it's probably adheres to like a really good plan if someone that plays the fiddle is the face of a band. I mean, let's not
what
fuck
is that?
Around. The fiddle is the most boring of the instruments
what?
That we play.
You play bass.
Lest you forget Charlie Daniels also.
Fuck Charlie Daniels. And what's wrong with the bass? If you guys didn't have me, this band wouldn't function.
Fuck, I mean, Charlie Daniels. We'd
function okay. You can barely hear the bass.
What do you mean you'd function okay? No, that's...
I hit the bass a couple... I kicked the bass a couple more times. We don't even need you on stage.
Are you kidding me? Are you guys 100%. Stupid? Do you know how music works?
It's funny. When I listen to music, like, I kind of have to listen for the bass. You just hear the guitar. You know what I mean?
I'm going to fucking light all your instruments.
Let's just play the game.
I light the guitar on fire.
Relax.
Stop it, dude. We got a gig.
We don't have a gig. We're running from the devil hound.
But we have a gig in the future. There will be a gig.
Yeah,
oh,
why didn't you make...
brother.
You brought five of your guitars.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
For the gig.
And made me load them all on the car. Anyway, I'm shaking my dice.
Who rolls devil's die?
Is it the loser who leads or the winner who leads?
Yeah, loser who leads.
Loser leads.
So Jay.
Okay, easy with the terminology.
What, Jay or loser?
Got him!
Wow, dude.
Truly savage.
Cockrell's pronouns are they, them.
Oh, what's the wild?
The devil's die has landed on 3.
Oh, 3.
So I also lead the bet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with an easy 2 2s.
I'm going to say 5 2s.
6 2s.
Holy
six
dick.
6 2s?
Call it. Call it. Call it. Call it. Call it.
6 6s.
Six sixes? What are you, a monster?
Bullshit. You're a liar.
Just 4, motherfucker.
Fuck!
Not everybody counted their wilds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that excuse me. I'm sorry. I had one. I had one.
So that's still 5.
Still 5.
Still,
you're still 5.
Because I had 2. Yeah, okay. That's 5. Damn. Yeah,
I didn't roll
Damn.
A 6.
Or a 3.
Fuck!
I rolled a 3.
All right. Everybody's getting a little testy, okay? You guys remember the party we threw after our first arena gig?
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't really forget a thing like that.
Oh, I mean, we didn't even make it back to the hotel. We just got out into the parking lot, and it was fucking cold, but we didn't care because we had people who had brought alcohol like they were tailgating, and we were just doing shots and doing a couple other things. And then I remember waking up face down in snow in that parking lot, and I've never fucking felt worse.
Yeah,
it's crazy because it was summer.
Yeah. It was cocaine.
It was cocaine. Well, there was a little cocaine.
Where were we that it was snowy?
I don't know. Canada somewhere?
Canada somewhere.
Yeah.
Kind of describes most of Canada.
Yeah. How? That's actually all of Canada.
Everybody relax.
It's okay. We can hit Staten Island next.
Oh. Don't you fucking dare.
Is Cockrell canon Canadian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, where were we, Cockrell? We were near where you grew up.
Well, I mean, if we were playing a show or two in Canada, it would either be Vancouver or Toronto. And since there was snow, it wasn't Vancouver. So we were in Toronto.
Oh my god, do you have to be such a prick about it?
I'm just saying. Why were we touring in February anyway? That's such a bad idea. No one even comes out to shows, especially not in Canada.
Whatever, man. Tailgating. It was just a nice fucking day. It was a nice fucking night, okay?
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Forget it.
I thought it was the summer.
You would, Kat. All right.
Was that the night you tried to start a fight with someone? And they wouldn't
Me?
Fight back? Yeah. I know how you get sometimes when you have a couple.
Oh my god.
Just throwing punches around. I've seen you do it. It's like the only time you like to be a little dangerous.
Little dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Uh-oh, Cockrell wants danger again, everybody. Newsflash!
We're a band. We're a rock band. In the 90s.
We're a fucking business, all right?
Boo! Boo!
Boo.
Boo.
I like the drums on fire.
Fuck you. I'm rolling the devil's die. Two.
Two's wild.
Two's wild.
What do you got, Mule?
Three fives.
Damn, dude.
Four fives.
Four sixes.
Fuck. We're down two dice. Bullshit. Oh, God damn it.
Heck yeah. Five sixes are in play.
Whatever. I mean, you're always so full of bullshit, so I figured probably here too.
Excuse me?
Nothing. Nothing.
Want to take that again?
Yikes. You say nice things and you know, tell someone they look good and you take them out for a nice time and then you wake up in the morning and someone's not there.
Oh my god, this again.
You like kind of put your heart out on your sleeve and that person just says, nah.
Are you talking about when you asked me to go steady with you? What are you, 50?
What? Excuse me if I want a little romance. I wanted to make it like nice and, you know, and really like set up the terms of it.
Romance?
How's that for danger for you, Cockrell?
Are you kidding? A nice time? You took me to P.F. Chang's, then a dive bar, and then we fucked. What are you talking about romance? We had a nice time.
Ew.
That's a great night. What are you talking about?
Are you... That is...
P.F. Chang's, beer, and sex? Those are all the food groups.
Yeah, that's a fun time. It's not a romantic...
That's all the food groups.
Oh, we're having fun now.
Ooh.
I dabble in sex.
Huh?
Okay, are we coming after my sex life now?
Why not?
Define dabble. What's a dabble?
I have sex with people when I feel like I want to have sex. I don't want to be... we're rock stars. The one thing that we have is infinite sex with people. Why am I going to... go steady with this 50-year-old guitarist who is hopelessly in love and thinks P.F. Chang's is a good first date spot?
Hound is 35 at best.
I thought you were 24.
Wait, how old are you?
No, he's definitely in his 20s. I'm just insulting him because he talks like he's, like, I don't know, old.
Listen, you can say whatever you want. But I remember that dinner at P.F. Chang's, and it was great. We held hands while we ate food. And I remember the beer that we got. I got a Guinness, and you got a Corona. And then we switched midway through, and we agreed that half and half is good. And then the first time that we fucked, we stared right in each other's eyes.
And then what did I say?
No. It was
cute.
What did
I say?
And it was fun.
No.
And then you said this was nice. You said nice.
Ooh,
buddy. Yes. I said it was nice.
That's not right.
And then...
Is that where the song title comes from?
Of course!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Also, guess where spit in my mouth comes from?
Oh my god.
Oh,
hey, we said
guys.
We said that was was a private one.
On the same album. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right after each other.
Jesus.
It's not mutually exclusive to have a nice time having sex with somebody and also not wanting to go steady with them.
It wasn't that you just said...
We gotta stop saying go steady, am I right?
I agree.
How else do you say it? What do you want to say? You want to date?
No, you
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
Do you want a date? Do you want to be with me?
Do you want to go out? Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be exclusive?
Yeah, let's talk about our relationship. Like, what
you want to fuck this pig?
Mm-hmm.
What was that one?
What?
That last thing?
What did I say?
Did you say puppet?
Puppet? You said puppet.
Puppet?
Fuck puppet.
That's a write-off.
Listen, all I know is I saw the way you looked at me, and I saw the way that I looked at you in the reflection of your eyes, and that wasn't just nice. That was nice.
Was it like this, and then Mule makes fuck me eyes at Hound?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Oh, honey.
Whoa, Mule.
Those eyes didn't mean what you thought they meant.
Those eyes mean one thing, and that is I love you and I want to be with you together forever.
Oh,
and I think that we should like settle down and be listening.
Hound, I know, listen, I know, I'm sorry. We should be nicer to you because before this band, you were in a Christian rock band. And you have a little bit of a older idea of what love is and sex, and I'm sorry that I took advantage of that. But grow the fuck up. We're rock stars now. You can fuck whoever you want.
Also, we're probably going to be dead soon. So
I'm also going to be dead soon, probably.
Listen, you can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to me, and you can't lie to the Lord above.
Oh, no.
I don't think I actually want to be that guy.
Okay.
But it made sense for the
moment.
We can X that.
That was fun for the moment.
That was for us. Listen, man. I don't know what to tell you. You want a life that I can't give you. And until you can open your eyes to the possibility that I just wanted to fuck you for the clout, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, but you started fucking me before there was really a reason to. We were just starting to get big. We weren't
Look
big.
Look at my PR plan. It was all there. Cockerel, show him the plan. It says fuck the hound in it. I swear to God.
Listen, all I'm saying is you didn't put my face on the front until after we had sex, and you said it was nice and, you know.
How did that play into your fucking plane show?
The plane show?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. A new plane every week. The same old prank.
Every week.
Oh, yeah. The plane. Oh, I thought you were talking about the show we did on plane, but you're talking about the plane prank show, which is a very good idea.
Yeah, no, not the headlining show we did on a plane. That's a different thing.
Yes, that's a different thing.
Really not our best show.
No.
Not our best show.
Yeah, it was tough. That was a tough
one. The acoustics are really bad. We should have just done the acoustic set.
Acoustics are bad. The crowd was, you know, seated.
Yeah, on the ground.
Motion sickness was really prevalent through it.
It's tough when you have to play facing the same direction as the crowd.
Yeah, they got mad when we tried standing in the front. And it's crazy because aviation laws in the 90s were not strong at all.
All right, Devil's Die. Devil's Die is a 4, everybody. 4 is wild. 4 is wild. Roll your dice.
4 is wild. 4 is wild. 4 is wild.
4 is wild. Get your 4s.
4's here.
4's here. Get your 4's here.
All right. I'm starting this off. 3 threes.
Four threes. Yeah, you feeling good over there?
5 threes.
Whoa. Bullshit.
Stop. You're being so mean right now.
You're being so mean.
That's only 3.
Oh, God. Okay, take one of my fucking dice. Cool. Great. No, good. Listen here, Kat.
What?
Second time I lose a die, I get to do a memory about a mixed review or misplaced scorn. Oh. I think you really got in my business about replacing Hound, not only in, like, in the PR of it all, but I think that you started to like get on my case about like stepping on his guitar solos with my fiddle solos, which we were clearly trading fours, so it was 100% legal. And so, but I think you just started like really getting on my case about just like kind of all of the ways that I was like fucking up your plan, as you called it, but it always had to do with something. I was like, I was in the way of Hound or whatever, and I just didn't get it because it was just like, what is your, why are you so preoccupied with Hound and whatever I'm doing with Hound? And, yeah, I think that like you just kind of, you started to really bug me after a while with just like Hound this, Hound that, blah, blah, blah. Like it's just, it was just a lot.
Okay.
Could it be because you're into me?
You need to stop. No. No. No.
I mean, what a better time to get into it than right now. We're on a train. We're in close quarters. Let's talk romance. What's going on here? Fuck?
No, first off, I want to say that it wasn't just the Hound. It was all of us, because it always seems like you are to, like, have a foot out the door with the band.
True.
It's less about what the Hound should have had. It's more of who are you aligned to? It feels like you're just doing this to, I don't know, break off and like do your own thing. It's like if like Justin Bieber, he's not alive yet.
Canadian.
He's a child.
He's a baby at this point.
He's a baby.
But a Canadian baby.
But a Canadian baby.
It's like if Justin Timberlake like left NSYNC or something, that'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
He would never do that.
He would never do that. But it feels like, I don't know, you want to have your own career. You sell your own solo album at our merch stand.
Oh, are we going to talk about Phantom Limb?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Phantom Limb.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Actually, Mule, do you want to maybe bring up the numbers and see which album has sold better at the merch table? I would love to
bring up the numbers. And Mule lifts a giant ledger that he keeps, which is physical, onto the table.
Man, if only they had like a program that you could like, I don't know, excel in some way.
Shut the fuck up.
In the 90s?
Shut the fuck up.
I guess they had that in the 90s.
Hold on, we need a better accountant, honestly.
For the last year, the best-selling album at our merch stand was...
Say it.
You know, actually, I don't think I've been keeping that good a record.
Oh, you're the best record keeper we've got. I'd love to know. No one better than you keeping track of the numbers.
I mean, that's really more of an accountant thing, right?
Yeah, it feels like an accountant thing. I don't know.
Oh, now we know what an accountant is. All right.
It's not the Mule's fault.
You know what, Kat? It's fucking Phantom Limb. All right, we're selling more Phantom Limbs than any of our albums.
But that's my point. What are we doing? Are you in for the band or for yourself? If your album's doing great, cool. As someone that's supposed to be your friend, I'm happy for you. But also, you are clearly trying to get out, and you're only using us. So fuck you for me being on your case. I'm trying to make this band succeed. What are you doing?
I'm not using you. You are using me.
Oh my God.
Who was the one who made the deal with the devil? Who is the one who got famous because of it? Me, sure, but the rest of you... You're welcome.
Are you really going to play the I made the deal card while we're literally running for our fucking lives on a train? Thank you, Cockrell. Thank you for making
like
a deal with the devil.
You were going to make that deal, Mule. Like you were going to have anything to do with getting dirty
no,
with the devil.
No, I wouldn't fucking make that deal. And I think it was a bad fucking idea.
Listen, this is all bullshit. We all made a deal with the devil as a group, as a band, and you're just trying to... Because you were the first one to say yes, because you were the one to look the devil in the eyes.
Like you would have let any of us even get a chance.
Yeah, you shouldn't be a phantom limb that's just floating off there, not existent, but we still have to feel you. You should be part of this body.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? I'm not just the one who said yes to the devil. The devil... approached me.
What?
And he offered me a way more lucrative gig than what I have here with you chuckle fucks. Again, you're welcome, and when we're done, I am ditching you all to work for him.
I fucking knew it. Fuck you.
What the fuck do you mean?
I mean exactly what I say. I'm gonna work for the devil.
Why?
Good fucking luck.
You're a real piece of work, you know that?
What do you mean, why?
It could be something great, all of us. Why are you fucking it up?
Because I am the one making us great.
They're my songs. People come for the lead guitar, not for the fiddle. People sing along. They don't hum the fiddle bit.
They sing along. Yeah, and they tap their toe to the four on the floor. You guys, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. But where's the magic? Where's the fire? Where's anything interesting in anything that you're playing? You do the basics, and you're good at it. That's great. You have a fabulous career ahead of you. But I've got something better.
Dying of alcoholism?
Can you do that in hell?
Hey.
Which is where I think I'm going. I don't really know. He wasn't clear about the specifics, but I'm going to play fiddle in hell.
Go ahead, take that deal.
This is dumb. We can all just do it together. You're fucking it up.
Whatever. You got one die left, Cockrell. Why don't you just fucking make a bet?
Fine.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Possum Creek Games and Steve Jackson Games. Last Train to Bremen is funding on BackerKit now through July 24th. Back the game to get the deluxe boxed set, which includes everything you need to tell your own story of a doomed quartet. This episode features the voice talents of Elliot Davis, Brian Flaherty, Jay Stroutman, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features an original theme song by Behold. Additional music provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production. And if you want even more My First Dungeon, then join our Patreon to get access to bonus actual plays, cast talkbacks, roundtable discussions, original music, and so much more. Just go to patreon.com/manysidedmedia. And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. If you're hearing this, that means you listened to every last second of this episode. If you're not caught up yet, that's great, because then there's plenty more to listen to. But if you are caught up and you simply can't wait for the next episode, then you should head on over to patreon.com/myfirstdungeonpod and become a member of the Dice Pool. For just a few bucks a month, you'll get cast talkbacks, original games, and a full-length bonus actual play each and every month. As of the end of 2023, there is already over 20 hours of bonus audio, plus a whole bunch of other goodies to enjoy. So head on over to patreon.com/myfirstdungeonpod and jump into the Dice Pool. We'll see you there.